Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I am Matt Jordan here on this Friday morning and on the second Friday of the month. That means we have State Senator Virgil Peck in studio with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Jordan. Doing about as wonderful as I can do. I had to use a little extra hairspray this morning.
Yeah, it is windy.
It is windy out there. Yes. And when you said 41 degrees on the thermometer earlier, I thought, well, I'm ready for warmer temperatures to just stick around.
Me too. We have a freeze warning tonight. That's how cold it's going to get overnight. So
I saw that, and I thought that's not going to be good for the blossoms on my fruit trees.
No, it is not. Now, I know, football fan, you a baseball fan too? Royals want to know?
I quit paying attention to baseball in 1993, probably before you were born. They went on strike.
The year after I was born, actually.
Two or three years in a row, it seemed like, and I thought, well, these multimillionaires going on strike, they don't need my money and my attention. So I did pay attention when the Royals won the World Series and so forth. I was a Royals fan. They used to have KGGF on all the time when the games were on, but kind of lost interest when they got greedy. Of course, football is almost to that point, Matt, but still a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and we'll see if they stay in Missouri or come to Kansas.
There you go. All right. Well, let's get into – I know we got a lot to talk about. We didn't hear – you know, normally first of the month we hear about the revenue. We didn't hear about that last week because it was – you know, it was the first day of the month. So give us an update on that, and then we'll talk a little bit about some bills and stuff that have gone from the House to the Senate and so forth.
Yeah, as we were talking before we went on the air, we could easily spend the next hour and a half, 2 hours talking about legislation, what the legislature is doing. But as it relates to March tax collections, now this is not all revenue, but tax collections, and all revenues are going to be a little bit additional. But March tax collections were $80 million above estimates for the month of March. So that means that Revenue Connect collections continue to come in ahead of expectations. Income tax was up by $38 million, and I don't really understand why income tax continues to exceed estimates, but it was $38 million above estimates. Corporate income tax was $27 million above estimates, and then sales tax was $17 million, just to give the big three. There were some others that were down a little bit, and some were right on, but all these were above expectations significantly, which equated to $80 million more coming into the state of Kansas than what we had planned for. And so that's a pretty big deal. I don't know why it continues to exceed, but it has been for the last year and a half or so. A couple months was pretty close to spot on, but still a little bit above. Some months it's significantly, and for March, it was $80 million. On the 20th of this month, the consensus revenue estimators will get together to re-estimate what they expect collections to be, and these revenue estimators are economists from our universities, KU, K-State, and Wichita State, as well as some government officials, the director of the budget, head of legislative research, and another person. I'm drawing a blank on who they are. But they will re-estimate based on projections as to what they think. And Matt, it's interesting. They get into every detail. What's the price of grain going to be? What's the price of fuel going to be? What's inflation going to be? I don't know how they're going to estimate this time around. It's going to be more difficult than in years past because, as you reported this morning on the radio, inflation is significantly increasing and going to be an issue. And so I believe the legislature needs to be extra cautious in spending taxpayer money, but so far they haven't been.
I've seen a couple statistics regarding the price of living where it's like $500 more a month right now than it was for the average American than it was a year ago.
$500 a month? Matt, I know I'm older than you are, but I can remember when I didn't even earn $500 a month. But that's a significant increase in the cost of living for Americans, for Kansas families.
A lot of that, I'm sure, is gas and food prices.
Yep. It would be. It's amazing how much the price of meat has increased when you go to the grocery store. And it's kind of entertaining to go to the grocery store because everyone's complaining about the prices. Well, it's not the grocer's fault, and it's not necessarily the ag producers getting that much more money.
Now, there was a couple bills that I had my eyes on that have gone through from the House and into the Senate. We talked a little bit off air about a few of those, but one of those, and I know some of my friends in the area that are into hunting are going to be excited about this one, but it's the one where grandparents or parents can get a hunting license, I think five and under, for $300.
That's the way that it came to us from the House. However, any person who wants to buy a hunting and fishing license for a child, it doesn't just have to be a parent or grandparent, can purchase these lifetime hunting and fishing licenses as it came over to us from the House. Age 0 through 5 was $300, and that was it. You could get a lifetime hunting and fishing license. On the Senate side, during floor debate, I offered an amendment that was overwhelmingly accepted to have two categories. Age 0 to 5 was $300. Age 6 through 12 was $400. And then later down the road, 5 years down the road, it could be increased by $100. Not if you already had one, but for future purchases. However, in the end, that didn't stick. The amendment that I put on did not stick, but at least the amendment did add a couple additional years. So as the bill passed the legislature, headed to the governor's desk, which there's a lot of them going to hit her desk this week and next week. Age 0 to 5 is $300 for a lifetime hunting and fishing license. Ages 6 and 7, so you have to be 7 and under to be able to get this great discount. It's $500. So those 2 years, it's $200 more, but that's still a significant savings over the lifetime of a child. My thing, Matt, was at age 5 or even 6 and 7, you don't really have a good feel for the interest of a child as it relates to their outdoor interest and their hunting and fishing interest. But by age 10, 12, that you certainly do. But again, as it passed, age 7 and under can get a lifetime hunting and fishing license. This means no matter where they go in the United States, they can always come back to Kansas and do hunting and fishing because they have a lifetime license. It's not just for residents. You do have to be a resident when you purchase it.
I think that's good, and I like the amendment that you added because I know there were the only complaints that some people had said that they heard, legislators had said that they'd heard, was the people that were going to have kids turning 6 or older, and so that does get a little bit of reprieve, something I wish would have been in effect in Oklahoma when I was a kid, because when I graduated high school, I used some of my graduation money, $750 worth, to buy an Oklahoma lifetime hunting and fishing license.
Okay.
So I would have loved to have had this. My parents could have purchased one for $300 when I was, you know, 0 to 5.
Well, that shows a little bit of inflation. We have a legislator who, when he turned as a teenager, he purchased his parents purchased a lifetime hunting and fishing license, $150.
Wow.
And that guy's like 55 years of age now. But even though he's a Kansas resident, has lived here almost his whole life as an adult, he can still go to Oklahoma because he's got a lifetime hunting license down there. But
when does that go into effect?
It goes into effect in July.
July, okay.
And it's one of those things that no matter what age we select, we're going to lose some kids, whether it's 7 or 12 or whatever age. There are some parents that are going to say, oh, man, my child just turned 13 or just turned 8 week before this deadline. Well, we understand that. It's too bad.
Yeah. All right, what's some of the things that have gone through or some of the bigger issues in the legislature?
Well, one that garners a lot of interest from a lot of citizens, so I will mention it briefly, that's the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. And what this is, it says if you were born a male, you will always be a male as relates to participating in athletics. You cannot say that you have transitioned from one gender to another, which, Matt, we know science says you can't do that anyway. But that passed the Senate 25-13, the House 74-39, is headed to the governor's desk. She vetoed this same legislation last year. However, it was not an election year. This has a lot of support across all spectrums, liberal, conservative, and in between. They do not believe that transgender people should be able to participate in the other gender's athletics if you're a male. However, those numbers I just gave you are not sufficient to override a veto. So we'll see if the governor vetoes it or lets it become law. But this would keep guys who say they're girls out of girls' athletics and out of girls' locker rooms and out of girls' showers. Those are things people don't realize. Some people get to feeling sorry for people who want to transition from one gender to another. Well, I think it's more of a protection for our females than it is anything else, not discriminating against them. Now, we had legislation that most people are going to agree with and most people like, and that's House Bill 2448. That requires able-bodied adults without dependents ages 18 through 49 to work a minimum of 30 hours a week or complete an employment and job training program in order to receive any type of food assistance. There are a variety of levels of food assistance that people can receive. Well, we don't want people sitting around on their backside not doing anything. We don't mind helping someone who needs help. But if you're just going to sit around and not do anything, we're not going to just give you a handout. At least that's the mindset of a lot of us. So that legislation passed. We'll see what the governor does it with it. I could spend a lot of time. We will see on the ballot in the election year this year an additional measure, House Concurrent Resolution 5022. The legislature did pass that. That will require, put it in the Constitution, that the office of sheriff remain a separate office, an electable office. Some people say, well, isn't it anyway? Well, in all but one counties, it is. In some counties, we're starting to look at having the position of sheriff as an appointed position. And I believe the sheriff should be accountable to the people, the electors. So this will put it into the Constitution that the position of sheriff will be elected. We do have one county, Riley County, who in 1974 eliminated this position of sheriff, and they have sort of a joint law enforcement. Now, they can go back to electing their sheriff, but it's a one-way door. If they should ever do that, then they will be just like all the rest of us. We had also another constitutional amendment proposed. I'll just hit these briefly because they did not pass, so they will not be on the ballot, but I think they're important for Kansans to know. We're working on them, and I think they would be a good thing. Kansas stands alone as it relates to how our Supreme Court justices are selected in the state, at the state level. We are the only one who has a committee who nominates to the governor, and that committee or commission is controlled by lawyers. Lawyers will put up three names, then the governor must select from those three names, and boom, that person's selected. That removes any and all elected officials, the citizens, from input. So we had a proposed constitutional amendment, which we felt we were just one vote short of putting it to the voters, to where we would select our Supreme Court justices the same way that they are selected at the federal level, which, of course, right now they're selecting a new justice for the Supreme Court at the federal level. That did not pass. I think that will be continue to be pushed. And then I had the privilege. I call it a privilege because this has long been part of my political philosophy, and that would be Senate Concurrent Resolution 1620 would have been a constitutional amendment to require two-thirds majority of the Kansas legislature to vote to increase taxes or to establish a new tax. We fell two votes short on that, so citizens will not have an opportunity to vote. Kansas, Matt, has a history of raise taxes, reduce taxes, raise taxes, reduce taxes, sort of a schizophrenic, if you will. I believe this would level that out and provide certainty to where more businesses would look at Kansas and say, okay, they've got a stable tax climate. We want to go there, or individuals. So that did not pass, but I think a supermajority of the legislature to increase taxes would be a good idea. On that, just briefly, the largest tax increase in the history of Kansas in 2017 did pass with a supermajority. Two-thirds majority voted for it. However, interestingly, on the Senate side, 27 senators voted for that tax increase. 13 of them are no longer there. And of those 13, 8 of them lost their reelection bid. Several others did not run, and then one passed away. But my point is, Kansans don't like taxes. We need to keep taxes down. We've got one here that we could easily spend 30 minutes on just this one bill. It's a concurrent resolution. I'm sorry, it's a conference committee that did go to the governor. House Bill 2239 had many provisions in it, but one has to do with the statewide 20 mills for education has a $20,000 exemption for the first $20,000 of appraised value. That was put in 1997. So the first $20,000 of appraised value is exempt from the 20 mills. On the Senate side, we had a bill, went through committee. I amended it again. Being in the position I'm in when it relates to taxes, I have opportunity to have a little bit greater impact. I amended it to push it to where it would be had we had a formula in place called the Case-Shiller, and it's based off of the 10-year rolling average of the value of homes. But anyway, had this formula been in place since 1997, the exemption would have been $65,470. So I amended the bill to where the first $65,000 of your property taxes would be exempt from the statewide 20 mils. That did not stick. But we did double it to $40,000. So my point, Matt, in mentioning this, it provides a little bit of property tax relief, about $46 a year. Not big money, but $46 is $46. So you have that. And this formula was put into place. So that was a victory from my perspective, because that will continue to increase the exemption amount. We also, in that bill, increased the standard deduction on your income taxes. Disabled veterans will get an additional $2,250 of basically a standard deduction, if you will, for their income taxes. Teachers who buy school or classroom supplies will have a $250 tax credit annually. Probably should have been higher. Some of these teachers are spending $700,000 a year on classroom supplies, which we could talk at length about that. I don't think teachers should have to be doing this. It should be the parents, or at a minimum, the school district, because they're getting a lot of money per student. They can certainly afford to provide classroom supplies for their students. But anyway, teachers are stepping up, doing what they need to do to help educate children. We extended the Rural Opportunity Zone program. It has a sunset, so we added another 3 years to that. We also provided a sunset for just not a sunset, but eliminated the sunset for vehicle rebates. If you get a manufacturer's rebate on your vehicle, you should not have to pay sales tax on that manufacturer's rebate, because you didn't pay for that $2,000 or whatever for that vehicle. So we removed the sunset, so that will not go away. However, future legislators can reinstate it to where you have to pay sales tax on money you didn't spend. Fencing. Some states, when it comes to providing or purchases of necessary T-post and barbed wire, etc., to build a fence, there's no sales tax. Well, because of an amendment that I put on, again, I keep talking about things I put on. Well, Matt, I'm kind of pleased at the success I had this year. I really am. But so fencing supplies starting July 1 will no longer be sales taxable exempt as long as they're bought to encompass agriculture land. If you're going to build a fence in your backyard, sorry, that's not agriculture. It will still be sales taxable. Disaster relief. If there is a disaster that comes to a tornado, a fire, a flood, whatever, and it destroys property. Currently, if your home's destroyed, the county can exempt your home from property taxes for that year or a portion of the year. We put in there that they can also exempt other buildings, outbuildings, if you will, farms, shed, or barns and sheds, those type of things. And again, it just keeps going on and on. There's a tax credit for contributions to technical and community colleges, which of course is big for our area. So a person can contribute to these colleges and receive a tax credit. And I'll just slow down there because it just keeps going. There's no stopping.
All right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned you had a lot, and you did. I mean, that's what happens. This is the first, part of the year is just ended. So there's a lot to go over. When do you guys go? We'll resume back. How long is this little spring break, and then you go back?
We got out at 1:40 a.m. on the 2nd in the morning, and we go back on the 25th of April. And we still have some things we need to take care of. Education funding has not been settled. We're going to do that. What are we going to do as it relates to sales tax on groceries? We have an agreement between the House and Senate, but neither chamber has voted on that. That agreement, just in a few seconds, is on January the 1st, sales tax on groceries would drop down to 4%. January the 1st, the following year, it would drop down to 2%. January the 1st of 2025, it would go away. Now, I'm one that would like to see that based on a formula. If revenue goes up, taxes go down. But the way it's currently, we'll see if the legislature passes that. And there's many other things we still need to take care of. Got some heavy lifting to do when we get back on the 25th of April.
All right. Well, enjoy the few 2 weeks that you've got off there, and we'll look forward to talking to you in May and see how those things that you guys worked on towards the end of April have gone.
Well, I look forward to it. Actually, there's 5 Fridays this month.
Good. So we'll see you again.
I'll plan to call in, because I'll most likely be in Topeka on the last Friday. But, there'll be a lot of information. I'm interested to hear from citizens. I'm interested to visit with citizens, give them updates, answer questions, whatever, because it's not about me. It's about them.
All right. Well, again, enjoy your break. We appreciate you coming in, taking some time to talk with us, and we'll see you at the end of the month.
Look forward to it. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.